Welcome to The Commentaries, a podcast series from TAN in which you'll learn how to read and understand history's greatest Catholic works from today's greatest Catholic scholars. In every series of The Commentaries, your expert host will be your personal guide to not just read the book, but to live the book, shining the light of its eternal truths into our modern darkness. Visit tancommentaries.com to get your copy of the book and to subscribe for access to all the great reading plans, new episodes, bonus content, and exclusive deals for listeners of The Commentaries.
Hello and welcome back to The Commentary series and our study of the Way of Perfection by the Carmelite mystic and doctress of the Church, St. Teresa of Avila. I'm Father Timothy Reed from Charlotte, North Carolina, and I am happy to be with you once again. Today is day 16, so we're about three quarters of the way through this podcast series. And today we're picking up at chapters 34 and 35 of this spiritual masterpiece. Last time with chapter 32, St. Teresa continued her treatise on the Lord's Prayer, writing about the petition, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You'll remember that in this discussion, St. Teresa absolutely insists upon the necessity of uniting our will to God's will. For this is what prepares and disposes us to receive God's full gift of Himself through perfect contemplation. So we must truly desire for God's will to be done on earth, that is, in us, just as it is in heaven. And in chapter 33, St. Teresa takes on the next petition in the Our Father, "Give us this day our daily bread," which she interprets as a reference to the Eucharist. Our saint explains that our Lord has given us the Eucharist to strengthen us to do His will. It is the Eucharist that makes us capable of praying with integrity, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So now, in chapter 34, St. Teresa continues her discussion about this petition, "Give us this day our daily bread," explaining for us what it means to ask this day for our daily bread, which seems redundant. Teresa says, "I believe that daily means that we may enjoy His presence while we dwell in this world, where He remains with us and we receive Him as our food, and in heaven also if we profit by His company here. His sole object in abiding with us is to aid, to incite, to strengthen us to do the will of God, which we have asked may be done in us." Then she goes on in paragraph 2, the term "this day" seems to mean the one day and no more during which this mortal life lasts. As she explains so thoroughly, Jesus is with us to aid us as we live here on earth, dwelling with us and strengthening us. Indeed, so true is this, that if we lose our souls, we will have no excuse, nor can we blame the Father, for He has given us His Son in the Eucharist. So, St. Teresa is driving home the fact of what a great gift we have in Holy Communion, and how we must look to it as a source of strength, as well as our means of communing with God, who of His own will desires to be present to us in this august sacrament. As she says on the top of page 204, "We shall never die of famine except by our own fault. For the soul that receives the Blessed Sacrament will find in it whatever solace and help it requires." In paragraph 3, she speaks of bodily nourishment, encouraging her daughters not to worry about physical needs. Teresa writes, and I quote, "If we once began to concern ourselves about the needs of our bodies, we should soon forget the needs of our souls," end quote. So in other words, she's teaching her nuns to focus on what really matters to them. She's telling them that the life of the soul is so much more important than the life of the body. And she says to her nuns, "Since you have completely abandoned yourself into the hands of God, have no care for any other bread but this." Teresa promises them that our Lord will never fail them if they do not fail to keep resigning themselves to His will. So with this discussion, we must ask ourselves two things. Do we prioritize spiritual goods over material goods? So in other words, are we more concerned about the health of the soul than the health of our bodies? And secondly, how well do we trust our Lord to take care of our material necessities if we're doing all we should be doing? So, how deep is our faith in God's goodness? Now, as for her nuns, Saint Teresa wants them to be strong in faith. So she writes in paragraph 6, "Let us speak to the purpose and beseech the Father to give us grace so as to prepare ourselves for the reception of this heavenly and sacred food, that although our bodily eyes cannot rejoice in looking on Jesus, hidden as He is beneath the sacramental veils, yet He may reveal Himself to the sight of our soul." Now, as she moves into paragraph 7 on page 207, Teresa speaks of how the Eucharist is a powerful remedy for bodily ills. And in mentioning that she is acquainted with the person who was cured by the Eucharist, she's really speaking of herself. Now, remember, Saint Teresa of Avila suffered constantly from physical maladies throughout her adult life. Indeed, of speaking of herself here, Teresa expresses her unshakable faith that having the Blessed Sacrament is like being with Christ when He lived upon this earth. And thus she states in paragraph 8 that she endeavored to strengthen her own faith so that whenever she received Holy Communion, she did so as if the Lord were entering into her home. She says that she tried, as far as possible, to withdraw her mind from all earthly things and enter into herself with our Lord. She strove to control her senses in order that they might comprehend the grace she was enjoying, or rather that they might not prevent her soul from enjoying it. And in this method of Teresa's, we are given some solid instruction on what we can do to receive Holy Communion in a way to better benefit from it. Truly, we must remember what Teresa stresses on page 208, that our Lord is present with us in Holy Communion and that we need not go far to seek Him. She says in paragraph 9, "If while Jesus lived in the world, the mere touch of His garments healed the sick, who can doubt that when He is dwelling in the very center of our being, He will work miracles in us if we have a living faith in Him? And will He not grant our petitions while He is our guest? His Majesty is not a bad paymaster for a good end." In fact, that the footnote on the bottom of page 208 speaks to some of the raptures and ecstasies Saint Teresa experienced after receiving Holy Communion. Now, the takeaway here is that we must use wisely that time immediately after receiving Holy Communion to pray, to commune with our Lord, to speak to Him intimately. When we go back to our pews after receiving, this is not a time to allow our thoughts to be distracted. It should be a very special time of prayer for us, one that we jealously guard. To think, our Sovereign Lord is dwelling within us at that very moment. Now, this is the sadness of those who so thoughtlessly receive Holy Communion and then just leave Mass as if there's no reason to stay in church and pray. Not only are they missing out on the final blessing from the priest, but they are turning away their thoughts from our Lord, who is present inside of them. So in paragraph 10, Teresa enjoins us, "Take pleasure in remaining in His holy society. Do not lose this most precious time, for this hour is of the utmost value to the soul. And the good Jesus desires you to spend it with Him. Take great care, daughters, not to waste it." And even if we must, of necessity, attend to something else, Teresa tells us to leave our souls with our Lord. She continues on page 210, "But if you allow your thoughts to wander at once to other matters, and you show no more care or reverence for Him who dwells within you than if you had not received Holy Communion, how can He make Himself known to you? You have no one to blame for this but yourself. This is the time for our Master to instruct and for us to listen." So the important thing to remember after we've received Holy Communion is that we are in Christ's company, that He is dwelling with us. He's dwelling within us. So we must talk to Him and acknowledge His presence within us. So in paragraph 11, on page 211, Teresa states, "When you have received our Lord, since He really dwells within you, try to shut the eyes of your body and to open those of your soul. Look into your heart." Now, our mystic promises that if we do this habitually, Christ will eventually reveal Himself to us in the proportion to our own desire to see Him. Saint Teresa is teaching us here that Jesus disguises Himself under the appearance of bread and wine, but He is just as truly present to us in the Eucharist as He was to His apostles when He lived amongst them. So we must look upon the Eucharist with the eyes of faith, with the eyes of our soul. Besides, she tells us in paragraph 9 that our human nature is too weak to bear the vision of His glory if we were to see Jesus with our bodily eyes. But underneath the veil of bread and wine, Jesus our King becomes accessible and approachable to us. Otherwise, we wouldn't dare approach Him, tepid, unworthy, and imperfect as we are. Isn't it amazing how well our Lord knows us and how He takes into account every one of our weaknesses, always doing everything possible to enable us to have a relationship with Him? So let's strive not to be like those who fail to recognize the great gift of God dwelling within us after receiving the Eucharist, and who move on to other matters with little care or thought for our Lord. For Teresa says, "He will not show Himself openly or reveal His glories or bestow His treasures, save on souls which prove that they ardently desire Him. For these are His real friends." Now the next chapter, chapter 35, continues on the subject of the Eucharist, but with an appeal to God the Father. So here, as in so many places, we experience the rather charismatic way St. Teresa of Avila writes. She's not systematic, but moves as the Spirit dictates. Now, the first paragraph of this very brief chapter concerns spiritual communions for those masses when one doesn't approach the altar for Holy Communion, which St. Teresa states is an exceedingly profitable practice because it's another opportunity for us to retire into our souls, to be alone with God. Now, one thing that I find some Catholics don't understand is that one doesn't have to go to communion every time one goes to Mass. Now, while it is a very efficacious practice to receive communion often, we should only receive when we are confident that we're in a state of grace. If we have some question about the state of our soul, then we should not go to Holy Communion until we've gone to confession first. Receiving Holy Communion, my friends, is one of the most important things we ever do as Catholics, and we should never take it lightly or treat it casually. It's a time for uniting ourselves to God And so we must make every effort to do just that, to focus on God, to speak with Him, to be attentive to Him. And Teresa tells us on page 213 that if we prepare our souls to receive Him, He never fails, in many ways unknown to us, to give us His grace. In paragraph 2, she again enjoins us to cultivate the habit of recollection, by which we draw near to the Lord and which is a proof of our love for God. St. Teresa continues on page 214, remember, there are few souls that keep beside Him or follow Him in His trials. Let us suffer something for Him. He will repay us. Only think, there are people who not only do not like to be with Him, but who drive Him from their houses with rudeness and insults. Therefore, we ought to endure some discomfort in order to show that we wish to see Him. And she goes on to mention how Jesus is willing to endure such abuse in order to find a single soul that will receive Him with affection and bear Him loving company. And she says, let this soul be yours. So she's imploring her nuns here to show our Lord the love and affection that so many others refuse to give Him. She wants her daughters to be true brides of Christ, to be His loving friends, to treat our Eucharistic Lord with the tenderness He so richly deserves. And this is good advice to us as well. Truly, Teresa's words here must be a point of reflection for us. It's one thing to receive the Eucharist in a state of grace and even to do so prayerfully and reverently. But do we consciously stoke the flames of love and affection we should bear for our Lord? What's more, St. Teresa prevails upon her readers to plead Jesus' cause before the Father. As she says, He will never defend Himself. Specifically, she's asking the Father to mercifully prevent our Lord's being so ill-treated. And Teresa has in mind the sacrilegious being committed against the Blessed Sacrament by Protestants in her day. Her love for our Lord and for His true presence in the Eucharist means that Teresa is greatly pained by the knowledge that the enemies of the Church are profaning the Eucharist. And so she begs the Father to bring an end to it, or to bring the world to an end. Goodness, what would St. Teresa say of our world today, when it seems that even some of the leaders of the Church are not only lacking in faith, but are trying to subvert the faith? Our world and our Church are in crisis, not unlike the situation Teresa lived through in the 16th century. And the crisis is not simply a lack of belief. The real crisis is a lack of love for our Lord. And so therefore, it is incumbent upon us who do believe, who do love our Lord, to make reparation for the sins of those who don't, and to pray for Holy Mother Church. It's incumbent upon us to beg the Eternal Father for His mercy. Following the lead of this winning saint, may we do exactly that. Like St. Teresa of Avila, may we strive to believe in our Lord more deeply and to love our Lord more fervently. And may our faith and our love make reparation for the sins of those who don't. And that brings us to the end of day 16 in our study of the Way of Perfection. I'm so glad you're listening, and I very much hope you're enjoying these podcasts. Thank you for joining me on your journey to grow deeper in your spiritual life. Next time, we'll cover chapters 36 and 37. To finish, let's pray the famous prayer of St. Teresa. Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. All things are passing away. God never changes. Patience obtains all things. Whoever has God lacks nothing. God alone suffices. May God bless you, and may Saint Teresa intercede for you.
This has been an episode of The Commentaries, a podcast brought to you by TAN. To follow the show, study more of the greatest Catholic classics, and to support The Commentaries and other great free content from TAN, visit tancommentaries.com to subscribe and use coupon code COM25 to get 25% off your next order, including The Way of Perfection and countless more spiritual works to deepen your interior life and guide you to heaven.